Imagine this. It is 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday.
It's always a Friday.
Exactly. Always a Friday. And you're managing this massive manufacturing plant, and suddenly a critical stamping machine just it grinds to a complete terrifying halt.
Oh boy.
Right? Alarms are going off, the line is totally dead. Now, all around this specific machine, you have literally hundreds of humming IoT sensors.
Just massive amounts of tech.
Exactly. You have glowing dashboards lighting up the entire control room. The technology is absolutely everywhere. And yet, amidst all of this futuristic tech, what is the default response from the team on the floor? Someone inevitably yells out, "Did anyone check the 2017 Excel sheet?"
Yeah, it's wild. An
Yeah.
Excel file from almost a decade ago is still somehow the digital backbone of the operation.
It really is. So, welcome to our deep dive into the Smart Factory Data Blueprint. We are pulling from a massive stack of materials today. We've got manufacturing white papers, raw IOP research data, and these incredibly detailed case studies from heavy-hitting European auto manufacturers.
Really deep foundational stuff.
Yeah. And our mission today is to decode exactly how raw, overwhelming factory chaos is transformed into a sharp, measurable competitive advantage.
Because it's really the great paradox of modern manufacturing. When you look at the white papers and the operational audits we're reviewing today, a massive theme just jumps right off the page. These facilities aren't failing because they lack technology.
Right.
They are completely drowning in data, but they are absolutely starving for actionable insights. I mean, they bought the sensors, they upgraded the programmable logic controllers, they have the
They
screen.
spent the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But without a structured architecture to actually process all that noise, you might as well just be relying on a paper maintenance log and a really experienced mechanic's intuition.
Which is exactly why we are walking you through a very specific, highly effective four-step framework today. Think of this as the ultimate architecture for digital transformation. We are going to take you from sensors to the edge to AI and finally to ROI.
The full journey.
Yeah. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of how this blueprint actually functions, we really have to look at the macro environment. Because overhauling your data architecture isn't just some fun experimental tech initiative anymore. The research is basically pointing to this as a baseline requirement just for keeping the lights on.
It's a matter of sheer survival at this point. The global pressures outlined in the research are incredibly intense right now, and that's regardless of whether you are producing pharmaceuticals, consumer electronics, or automotive parts.
Yeah, nobody is immune.
Exactly. First, you have a severe compounding skilled labor shortage. The veteran technicians, the folks who can walk past a turbine and just know it's running hot by the sound of the hum, they're retiring out of the workforce much faster than new engineers are coming in.
So plants have to maintain higher output with fewer people on the floor.
Right. Then you layer on the stringent sustainability and ESG expectations. Investors and regulators are demanding absolute transparency on carbon footprints and scrap rates. But perhaps the most immediate catalyst is the skyrocketing cost of energy.
Oh, yeah, the numbers on that are staggering.
The industry data specifically highlights that industrial electricity prices in Germany are currently 40% to 60% higher than they are in the United States.
40% to 60%.
Yeah. When your baseline operating costs surge that aggressively, every single wasted kilowatt hour is a direct, painful hit to your margins. You just can't afford to guess when a machine needs maintenance anymore.
Okay, let's unpack this step by step. We are starting at step one of the blueprint, which is sensors. This is the foundation. We are calling these the factory's eyes and ears.
Right.
Now, obviously, you know what a sensor is. The core philosophy here is that if an asset on the floor moves, vibrates, heats up, or consumes energy, it emits a signal. And that signal captures the physical reality of the factory. But the research makes it super clear that we shouldn't just be slapping sensors on everything in sight, right?
Right, you definitely don't want to do that. It is all about strategic deployment. Not all data is created equal, and not all sensors provide the same value. The blueprint categorizes the most vital hardware into three distinct buckets.
Okay, weigh that out for us.
For predictive maintenance, vibration sensors are the absolute gold standard. They monitor the microscopic physical frequencies of an asset. Then you have current and power sensors, which are the frontline tools for energy optimization.
Because they track the electrical draw, right?
Exactly. They track the exact electrical draw of a specific machine down in the millisecond. And finally, you have vision and optical sensors, which represent the new frontier for automated high-speed quality control.
And the entire point of this foundational layer is shifting your operational posture. You're moving away from reacting to a catastrophic failure and moving toward proactively catching the silent warning signs.
Proactive is the key word there.
I really want to highlight a specific scenario from the case studies because it perfectly illustrates that shift. There's this automotive tier one supplier over in Bavaria. They decided to strategically place vibration and current sensors directly onto their massive stamping presses.
Which are just violently loud, heavy pieces of machinery.
Oh, incredibly loud. But because they had this specific sensor architecture in place, their system caught a microscopic change in the torque of the press. We are talking about an anomaly so infinitesimally small that no human operator would have ever heard it or felt it.
And the implications of catching that microanomaly are just staggering when you look at the raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The data shows that because of that early warning, the maintenance team was able to go in and realign the press 3 full days before it would have resulted in a catastrophic breakdown.
3 days. That is massive.
It is. By avoiding that failure, they saved 36 hours of total plant-wide downtime. In hard currency, the research estimates that translated to a savings of between $150,000 to 180,000 euros in avoided costs and lost production.
Wow. But here is the real kicker. The payback period for installing those specific sensors was just 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks to completely cover the capital expenditure.
Yeah, for hardware that saved them over 150 grand. What's fascinating here is how incredibly cheap the sensor layer has become and how it acts as the ultimate insurance policy when it's deployed with actual intent.
But wait, if these sensors are catching microscopic torque changes every single millisecond, you can't possibly be beaming all that data straight up to the cloud, right? The bandwidth costs alone would completely bankrupt the plant.
You're spot on about the financial drain. But there's actually an even bigger operational issue than your monthly cloud hosting bill, and that is latency.
Latency, right?
Sending every single data point to a centralized cloud server is a massive structural mistake. First, you need real-time millisecond decision-making on a factory floor. If a robotic arm is swinging out of alignment, you cannot wait for a signal to travel to a server farm in another country and back.
That makes sense. It's just too slow. Exactly. Second, it is incredibly noisy. A vibration sensor on a healthy motor is essentially screaming, "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine," 10,000 times a second. Sending that to the cloud is useless.
Just paying to store junk data.
Yep. And finally, creating a direct pipeline from your core industrial machines to the public internet is a total nightmare for operational technology security and GDPR compliance. It introduces severe vulnerabilities to your most critical assets.
Enter step two, edge computing. This is where the raw data actually becomes a usable asset.
Precisely. If sensors are the eyes and ears, edge computing is the local brain. It acts as a highly intelligent traffic controller sitting right there on the factory floor, often directly attached to the machine itself.
So it's dealing with everything before it even leaves the building.
Right. Before a single byte of data goes to the cloud, the edge gateway acts as a local filter. It aggregates the chaotic mix of old and new communication protocols that different machines use. It cleans the data, runs local analytics to spot those immediate anomalies, and triggers alerts instantly without ever needing to ping an external server.
Keeping the factory running safely on a closed local loop.
Exactly.
The documentation points to a German original equipment manufacturer in North Rhine-Westphalia that illustrates this beautifully. They started integrating these edge gateways directly into the heavy machinery they were shipping.
I love this example.
It's so good. Before they implemented this local filtering, about 90% of the sensor data they were collecting and storing was just absolute noise, just terabytes of useless machine is fine signals. But by filtering at the edge, they crush that volume down so that only 0.5% of the most critical anomalous data actually needed to be sent to the cloud.
And that 0.5% is the key to solving the information overload problem we talked about at the beginning. By acting as a ruthless bouncer at the door, the edge gateway drove their cloud bandwidth costs down by 82%.
82% drop in costs. That is incredible.
It is. At the exact same time, because the data sitting in the cloud was now so concentrated and refined, their usable maintenance insights jumped by 300%.
Wow.
It's a masterclass in efficiency. You do not need more data to be a smart factory. You need cleaner, highly contextualized data.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because now that we have clean data, we can move to step three. AI, the prediction engine.
The fun stuff.
Right. And when people hear AI in the context of manufacturing, the immediate cynical reaction is usually about robots replacing human workers. But a massive recurring theme across all the research we're reviewing is a total reframing of that dynamic. The data strongly suggests that AI on the factory floor doesn't replace humans, it upgrades them. It basically gives frontline workers superpowers.
It's a vital paradigm shift. If we strip away the futuristic jargon, the actual hardworking AI models that factories use are highly practical. First, you have anomaly detection.
That's the one finding the hidden issues.
Yes. This is the algorithm that learns the unique baseline rhythm of a specific machine and flags the early warning signs, just like the Bavarian press example we talked about. Next, you have time series forecasting. This looks at historical trends to predict future states.
How is that mostly used?
It's heavily used to predict energy loads or production bottlenecks over a 12-hour or 24-hour window, which, as we established, is critical for managing European energy costs.
Right.
And third, you have computer vision. This is where high-speed cameras use AI to catch microscopic, invisible defects on a production line moving way faster than the human eye can track. The sources note that deploying computer vision models can reduce defect rates by anywhere from 20 to 60% almost immediately.
There's that masterclass example in the research, the Siemens Amberg facility in Germany. You were looking at those numbers before we hit record, and they are frankly hard to wrap your head around.
They really are. Siemens Amberg is essentially the gold standard for this blueprint. They manufacture roughly 100 million components a year on their surface mount technology lines.
100 million?
Yes. By weaving AI-based anomaly detection deeply into their operational DNA, they have achieved an absurd quality rate of 99.99885%.
Let that sink in for a second.
Right. Out of 100 million components, the defects are almost mathematically non-existent. And on top of that near-perfect quality yield, they saw a 20% reduction in overall machine downtime.
But the research is also very careful to point out that you can't just drop an algorithm onto a factory floor and expect Siemens-level results. There is a massive human dependency here.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, an algorithm is incredibly fragile without the human operator's deep intuitive context.
The human element is still key.
Exactly. The AI might flag a vibration anomaly, but it is the veteran technician who understands that this specific machine always vibrates a little differently on Tuesdays because of the ambient humidity in that corner of the plant or because of the specific alloy being milled that day.
So the AI is basically the assistant.
Yes. The AI serves the operator by pointing out the haystack. The operator uses their experience to find the needle.
All these tech upgrades and perfect quality yields are fantastic. But if we're sitting in the boardroom, the executive team isn't cutting a multi-million dollar check just because the edge dashboards look cool.
Definitely not.
Which brings us to step four, ROI and the golden metrics. This is the final destination. The only language that guarantees a digital transformation project will survive beyond a six-week pilot is measurable financial outcome.
Exactly right. And the research breaks down the typical ROI timeline for these highly structured smart factory initiatives, and it is significantly faster than traditional capital expenditures.
What are we talking time frame-wise?
We are typically looking at a payback period of 3 to 12 months. The documentation cites Bosch, for example. They deployed predictive maintenance architecture across their lines and saved 1.5 million euros annually.
Wow.
And that specific project paid for itself in just 5 months. BMW implemented AI-driven quality inspection, reduced their scrap defects by 30%, and saw full payback in 3 to 4 months.
That is incredibly fast.
Volkswagen focused their data blueprint on energy optimization and cut their energy consumption by 17% in just 6 months.
Those are massive, entrenched legacy companies seeing incredibly rapid, agile returns. But the research is clear. To get those returns, you have to be ruthlessly disciplined about what you are measuring. We can't just track gigabytes collected.
No, that's a vanity metric.
Right. The sources give us a specific list of vital signs. If your tech isn't moving these needles, it's just expensive noise. You have to track OEE, overall equipment effectiveness. You need to know your scrap rate. You have to monitor your CO2 emissions per unit produced. And crucially, you have to look at your maintenance timelines.
Yes, mean time between failures, or MTBF, and mean time to repair, MTTR. This actually raises an important question for you as you listen to this and think about your own operations. Are you actually tracking these golden metrics?
Because if your MTTR isn't dropping, if your mechanics are still taking 3 hours to fix a broken belt because they have to hunt down the problem manually or dig through that 2017 Excel sheet, then all those terabytes of sensor data and fancy dashboards are virtually useless.
It means your architecture is broken. You've installed the technology, but you haven't connected it to the workflow.
That is a hard truth, and it perfectly opens the door to the graveyard of failed projects. Let's talk about the pitfalls, because the research dedicates a lot of ink to why these initiatives collapse. What are the traps that companies fall into when they try to build this blueprint?
The primary mistake, without question, is starting with the technology instead of the business problem. A company will go to a vendor conference, see a shiny new IoT platform, and say, "We need to buy this."
Working backward.
Exactly. Then they spend 6 months wandering around the factory trying to find a problem for their new solution to solve. You have to invert that. You start by asking, where are we bleeding cash? And then you deploy the blueprint to fix it.
Another massive trap highlighted in the case studies is pilot purgatory.
Oh, pilot purgatory is devastating.
It really is.
This is where a plant manager buys 50 sensors, hooks them up to one single milling machine, and gets a beautiful dashboard. It looks amazing on a PowerPoint deck for the board.
But then they try to roll it out.
Right, and they realize the architecture they built is entirely custom, and scaling it to the other 400 machines in the plant would cost $50 million and take 10 years. So the project just dies on that one machine. You have to design the architecture for scale from day one, or you shouldn't start at all.
And that leads right into the final major pitfall, completely underestimating change management. The research explicitly states that a true digital transformation on a factory floor is 80% about the people and only 20% about the technology.
So true.
If you don't train the floor workers, if you don't explain how this makes their shift easier rather than replacing them, they will simply ignore the dashboards and go back to doing it the old way.
But for the organizations that navigate those pitfalls and actually align their people with this data blueprint, the future is incredibly dynamic. The white papers do some fascinating future gazing based on the trends shaping the next decade.
What's coming down the pipe?
We are rapidly moving toward a world of AI co-pilots for frontline workers. Imagine a technician wearing an earpiece or augmented reality glasses with a localized AI assistant whispering step-by-step maintenance recommendations based on the real-time edge data.
That sounds like science fiction.
It does, but it's happening. We're also going to see highly self-optimizing production lines. This is where the local edge AI constantly tweaks the manufacturing parameters, adjusting heat, pressure, and speed in real time to maximize yield without waiting for a human to input a new command.
One of the most surprising trends in the research wasn't even about new futuristic factories, though. It was about retrofitting the old ones.
Yes, the rise of the smart retrofit. You don't need to build a billion-dollar greenfield megafactory to be competitive.
Right.
The data shows companies taking heavy machinery built back in the 1980s, machines older than the Berlin Wall, and turning them into highly connected, state-of-the-art digital assets simply by layering this exact blueprint of cheap sensors and edge computing over the legacy hardware. It really democratizes the smart factory concept.
So what does this all mean? If we synthesize this entire journey for you, the blueprint we've extracted from these sources is remarkably elegant in its logical flow. Step one, sensors capture the physical reality of the floor. Step two, the edge processes that reality locally, filtering out the useless noise.
Yep.
Step three, AI interprets the clean data to make accurate predictions and upgrade human operators. And step four, ROI proves the financial value of the entire system to the business. Sensors capture, edge processes, AI interprets, ROI proves.
It represents a profound, necessary shift from being data-rich and insight-poor to possessing a lean, aggressive, highly contextualized architecture that actually drives the bottom line forward.
You've made it through the complexities of the Smart Factory Data Blueprint. I really hope you've gained a few aha moments today about how a highly structured, localized data architecture will always beat raw, overwhelming tech hardware every single time.
Absolutely.
It is never about how many sensors you have installed. It is entirely about what you do with the signals they send.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over that pushes beyond the physical walls of the factory we've been discussing today. We spent this entire time talking about optimizing the production line to make a better, cheaper physical product. But if your factory's data blueprint becomes this perfectly tuned, self-optimizing engine that captures reality with such precision, at what point does your manufacturing data become a product itself?
Oh, that's interesting.
Think about the aviation industry. Engine manufacturers don't just sell physical turbines anymore. They sell thrust by the hour because their predictive data is so flawless. What happens when the operational data generated by your smart factory becomes more valuable to your supply chain partners or even your competitors than the actual physical widgets you are shipping out the door? Are you prepared for a future where you aren't just a manufacturer, but a data broker?
That is a phenomenal question and a completely different way to look at the value of what a factory actually produces. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive, for your time, and for your curiosity. Keep looking for those hidden signals in the noise, build your architecture with intent, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.